Our scripture today is from Isaiah, 64th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when firewood kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds, Holy One, that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O God. Do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. The 20th century poet Langston Hughes wrote his poem, Dreams, in 1922. It was one of his very earliest works and one of his best remembered. Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen with snow. I find Hughes' images incredibly poignant for us as we enter Advent in this pandemic-ridden, politically and racially divisive year. How do we hold on to our national dreams of health and peace and cooperation and justice and abundance and equality for all in this Advent? Our faith dreams of building God's realm here and now on earth. How do we dream hope? The ancient people of God, the Israelites of the 6th century BCE, were wondering the same thing when they heard the prophet cry out to God in lament, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down!" They too were wondering if they could dream hope, and they were trying hard to hold on to the awesome deeds of God they had experienced with surprise and joy in the past. Why was God not acting like God way back in the day when they were delivered from Egypt, from slavery? And even not so far back in the day when they were led out of exile in Babylon and back to Jerusalem to rebuild their lives in the promised land, to rebuild the temple of the Most High. Instead of flowing springs in the desert and straight highways of good policy and working together following God's law, instead of an oasis of plenty, they had returned from exile, ready to rebuild, only to find strife and hardship. There were polemical factions among the differing tribes, They were short on cooperation. Physically rebuilding the temple along with a new infrastructure for simply living together was much more difficult than they had ever imagined. It seems they felt abandoned by God, whom the prophet had promised would restore their fortunes and renew their abundance. Perhaps they didn't have a pandemic, but they knew well the unrest of civil discord at a time when they needed to work together to survive. Now, the book of Isaiah is a very big book. It spans 3 centuries of the Israelites' relationship with God. The original 8th century BCE prophet Isaiah prophesied to the rulers and people of Judah when the Babylonian Empire was encroaching upon them and eventually conquering Jerusalem. Much of the population was captured and taken into exile in Babylon, where they learned to live their lives and honor their God in a foreign land. And then in the late 7th and into the 6th century BCE, a new prophet arose in the midst of the exile, writing in the name and the fashion of the original Isaiah. These 2 prophets give us all those beautiful phrases of poetry and prose that we often hear at this time of year. The people who walk in darkness shall see a great light. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the trees shall clap their hands. The lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and a little child shall lead them. But today we hear from the prophet who is with the people after the return from exile, when things are looking very bleak. The prophet is still speaking in the tradition of Isaiah with a loud lament. Where are you, God? Come down to us. You forgot us, so now we have sinned. We are fractured as a people, hanging on by a thread. You have hidden from us, so even our best efforts are like filthy rags. We are undone. How many times in this last year could each of us have lifted up the sentiments of this lament to God? For goodness sake, literally, where are you, God? For God's sake, literally, show yourself. Fix us. Deliver us. Restore us to your presence. As the poet warned us early in this sermon, without our dreams, without hope, life is like a broken-winged bird, crippled and dying, barren, about to be snuffed out in the frozen depths of our deep disconnection with you, Holy One. The ancient prophet's cry in this 64th chapter of Isaiah moves us from anger and despair, which we know all too well in our times, to broken-hearted, sobbing sorrow and lament, which we also know in these times. Now, if this feels excruciating, and you're wondering, what kind of introduction to Advent is this? You're getting it. You see, it turns out that authentic lament, with all its anger and confession and sorrow, is psychologically good for us, and it is good for our souls. Bottling up all our feelings in stoic silence does not solve any issue. It alienates us from others, and it's bad for our blood pressure. The structures of lament are an appropriate practice for expression. Spiritually, lament breaks open our hearts before God. And when our hearts are broken open, as they have been in this year, broken open, our eyes and ears can open as well. It turns out that the prophet does not leave us despairing in the dirt, fading away like dead leaves, but in acknowledging our brokenness before God, the prophet points us paradoxically to God, who is with us in our vulnerability and pain. Did you hear? Did you hear the prophet say, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father, our Maker. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people." The ancient stories of God's past deliverance proclaimed by prophets are not sentimental, smothering nostalgia, nor are they a delusional panacea denying the pain of the present. They are beacons of light, drawn from the collected memories of God's people as a source of hope. God's prophets are not fortune-telling predictors of future events. They are witnesses to God's presence in the world and in our lives. God who is vulnerable, nurturing, and suffering with us. God who tends and shapes God's people, all of God's people, not just a special set of followers with a particular practice of religious tenets. All of the people, all of humanity, all of creation are intimately shaped and loved by God's creating spirit. As a prophet shapes clay to make useful vessels. The prophet knew that when God seems hidden, people are lonely and hurting. And this is when we act out in fear, sinning against one another. The prophet also knew that God is always hiding in plain sight in the pain of our very lives and situations. God is not a coy, disguised superhero, Clark Kent, the bumbling, humble reporter one minute, and then Superman saving the world the next. The character of God is divine determination, relating to the world through a vulnerable path of non-coercive love and suffering service rather than domination and force. This determined, loving, suffering character of God is why we dream hope, even in the worst of times. We have love divine within us, with us, among us, binding us together even in conflict and seeming deconstruction of all that we hold dear. This is the God of Advent. The God of the Advent call, O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Perhaps you saw the artwork for this week from our Advent devotional booklet in the Plymouth Thursday overview and Saturday evening emails. The artwork is titled "Tear Open the Heavens." And it's painted by Reverend Lauren Wright Pittman, a founding partner of Sanctified Art, the group who wrote our devotional. Look at it with me for just a moment. What do you see? I think we all immediately see weeping, do we not? I see spilling over love. I see an overflowing pottery pitcher. I see mountains and trees, wise eyes, divine presence, the colors of love, the actions of love. My friends, we can dream hope because God is dreaming with us as we weep and laugh and work together with God. As we sometimes rage against the pain and the darkness with God, as we sometimes hide from one another and from God. And yet God is always dreaming hope and dreaming love through us, through our lives. Therefore, we can hold fast to our dreams because God is holding fast to us even when we are not watching. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, we say. And God says, I have. I am with you. I never left. Amen.